What happened this election cycle? Did the world just change all of a sudden? Was there really a sudden shift at the last minute, as the pollsters would suggest? Folks, the results of the election are staggering. It would seem that the pundits, the pollsters, and the Dems got it wrong and weren't really paying attention. All the way to the day before the election, the pollsters claimed that the split in vote was 48.5 to 48.5 between Kamala and Trump, a tie. But in the end, the reality on the ground showed that the actual difference was 4 to 5%, and the actual numbers showed somewhere around 5 million more votes for Trump. Now, what's interesting here is that there was a lot of discussion among pollsters about the hidden Trump vote. I have a theory. I think I have a better understanding now of where this hidden Trump vote is. It's actually quite interesting and reveals a hidden power. This is going to be an interesting discussion. Stay right there. Each polling group tried their hardest to identify who exactly in this group that they can't identify as a source of votes. So far, the pollsters have made this mistake now in 3 presidential election cycles. I remember in the 2016 and 2020 elections where the extra votes were characterized by the left as the non-educated rural populations. So it was pitted as a battle between the smart people who knew what was correct and rural dumb people who were following some populist rhetoric from Trump. Yet in the actual results of the election this time around, it appears that the votes they couldn't count came from just about every demographics. Blacks, Latinos, suburban women, and so on. So how come the pollsters got this all wrong? Well, I have a theory that explains this hidden group of voters. And this theory is very interesting, and it relates to what I've been teaching you all these years. Perhaps there's a clue here, a clue that something we're doing works, and perhaps we came up with a weapon that we can use to counter any tools used to manipulate us in any way. We have a secret weapon, folks, and it's time to be completely aware of it. It will work regardless of your political side. The surveillance infrastructure wants to ensure that there are no secrets, that they know what everyone thinks and does. Many of you don't know this, but in many states, your political affiliation is public knowledge. You can search for someone's name and know immediately if they're Republican, Democrat, or Independent. Many of you who are pretty cavalier about what you do on social media don't realize that your posts are being captured as well, and your political beliefs are easily classified all under your real name. These then go into commercial databases sold by the likes of data aggregator companies like Axiom, Intellius, PeopleFinder, and so on. These databases are obviously sold to anyone wanting data for research, whether it's a third party or even a potential employer. Your actual votes, as recorded by the state, are likely available to companies with government contracts and access to this data. For example, Palantir worked closely both with the federal government down to individual cities like Chicago and Los Angeles to analyze its population. And this gives them license to combine both social media data I talked about and government data. Google has the ability to track every click you do on the internet. It wouldn't be too much of a reach to say that they know what you're thinking through every search, every website visited, and even any comment made on Gmail. Google has a partnership with an extremely left-wing company in London, which was given the task of categorizing every single person on their records, billions of you, into classifications like violent extremist based on Google data, particularly search data. This was so exact, they could point these identified people directly on a map. The point of telling you all about this is that this surveillance infrastructure makes it extremely difficult for most of you to hide. The threat today comes from the technological elite, and mostly they are on the left and they run most of big tech. I'll be honest with you that this threat has also come from the neocon right, the same people who set up the Patriot Act. In spite of all this technology to track everyone, obviously, there's a hole. A small number can evade this, a small number that they've ignored so far. I always refer to history since I have a good sense of the direction of technology by looking at historical events. Let me remind you of the 2016 event with Cambridge Analytica. In case you forgot, Cambridge Analytica was a company empowered by politicians to research the political behaviors of Americans based on Facebook data. Through various techniques I've discussed long ago, Cambridge Analytica was able to accumulate the Facebook information of 50 million Americans. The main scientist involved with Cambridge Analytica research, by the way, was a person from Palantir. This was an early stage attempt at control, but this company actually classified people according to characteristics like being an introvert or an extrovert and other personality traits. Basically, it was an attempt to see what could influence people to change their minds. This was completely like CIA ops we've heard of in the past. Let me remind you as well that Cambridge Analytica was actually hired by the Republicans, so this is not some politically biased analysis. Crowd mind control is a tool for those wanting power. It is a threat that can come from anyone, and whoever wants to do this, in my mind, is filled with plain evil. The media, of course, completely ignored this fact, but Elon Musk revealed that the FBI was in fact actively involved with manipulating messaging on Twitter. Part of the campaign of disinformation was to classify Elon as a source of fake news, and this revelation was discounted by the media. But so little was said when left-wing darling Mark Zuckerberg that he was influenced to do the censorship by the FBI. So here's a corroborating fact that got so little attention. The media really became a tool here. They should have done their job of weeding out the control of free speech, but unfortunately, they didn't do their job. They should have called out the FBI and shouted foul. But it became more important for journalists to push more of their individual beliefs than caring about bigger concepts like free speech and being neutral. In that sense, they were instruments of manipulation. Now let's examine the threat from big tech. Internet data held by big tech, which has their own particular political motives, clearly show what each of you believe. And just like the FBI and the media, they have the ability to manipulate you. And they did that historically by silencing opposing views, deplatforming, shadow banning, and amplification of selective messages. This even extended to financial controls to make sure opposing viewpoints do not have a way to crowdfund their channels. Their apologists will always say that they're private companies and they can do anything they want. But this is your data. They control, and they can disproportionately influence politics, and it should be obvious that the Silicon Valley-based companies lean very left. They didn't feel the responsibility to stay neutral in general. Yet here we are post-election 2024, and there's the absence of headlines about manipulation and fake news. For the first time in a long time, all the words came directly from the candidates' mouths or their proxies. No secret tech manipulation was obvious, like shadow banning, extreme bias censorship, or fake amplification. Some of it existed, but not at the levels of 2016 and 2020. Elon Musk didn't state anything new that was coming. Mark Zuckerberg, all of a sudden, reached out to Donald Trump. Sundar Pichai of Google reached out to Donald Trump. Jeff Bezos reached out to Donald Trump. In the past, the extra tools of the trade of political manipulation included fake stories and suppressed news to control people's opinion, all done over big tech platforms. This year, it would seem that the tools were all standard mainstream stuff. It's not like Trump got a pass. Prior messages of felon, racist, misogynist, election denier, threat to democracy were already out there. But this was being said in the open and no additional manipulation was obvious. However, the volume of messaging on the surface appears to have favored Harris heavily. In 2024, the mainstream media had 89% negative commentary on Trump and 86% positive commentary on Kamala. Completely one-sided here that could have turned off their audience. Definitely not neutral. 83 billionaires sided with Kamala. way more than Trump. And of course, Hollywood did its usual. I believe that Kamala raised 50% more funds than Trump for advertising and political organization. The usual big players in big tech pursued their typical messaging consistent with mainstream media and Hollywood. So in this election, it appears that dollars were allocated in traditional media in the most common way. No AI involved, no repeat of Cambridge Analytica. Perhaps the Dems thought they got everything under control and didn't need any special techniques. But apparently, it didn't work. There must have been a wild card. Clearly, in spite of the resources expended by one political side, a majority was not convinced. Why was that? Let's do an autopsy. Some of you on the right think that the failure of the Dems was because of the focus on issues like abortion, identity politics, and transgender issues versus other obvious better issues in your opinion. I'm not that naive to think that particular politicians believe all this. The simultaneous push towards DEI and pronouns was obviously a well-coordinated cultural change. The Dems made this move because they thought it was good for their demographics, which they believe is more than 50% of the population. I hope you are not that gullible to think abortion is the main issue for all of them, for example. They chose that because in their minds, it appealed to a majority. Politics is about power. Power is about money and control. Each party fashions a message because that is what they think the electorate wants to hear. Maybe back in the 1960s, this was all a random free-for-all of ideas and the best message wins. In modern days, this is all about polling and research and focus groups. Basically, sophisticated marketing. Nothing ever said is random. Obviously, they have to believe in their pool of agendas to choose from, but which of those to highlight is their task to sell. Let me tell you why I know this is true. I'm old enough to know that some of what Trump is saying today was being pushed by the left in the 1980s. Just like some of what the Dems say today were pushed by the Republicans in the 90s. So hot button issues seem to be opportunistic. I doubt this is as organic as you might imagine. The Dems specifically focus on their hot-button issues, plus add things like felon, threat to democracy, Hitler, fascist, and garbage, because they think that's what their target market wants to hear. Politicians will change course overnight and will lie to you with a new message if they find that it resounds with their electorate and can make them win. Am I being cynical? If you watch previous elections, you will see the shift in messaging that fully matches the polling. An early master of this was Bill Clinton with the help of his polling strategist, James Carville. In general, the hot button topics are fully researched. Even the style of how the message is delivered is figured out. After all, the goal is to win. Do you think Trump's aggressive style is the only style he can work with? Right after the assassination attempt, he was almost soft-spoken for a little while. Then he went back to his typical strong-worded style. Their research tells them the target message they needed to push and how it is pushed. But if the message is wrong, if they focused on the wrong things, then it must mean that their demographics research was wrong. So my theory is that the majority of the people were unconvinced with the Kamala talking points because the original talking points were wrong to begin with. It was speaking to the wrong audience. If you do not have a pulse of your electorate, using the modern polling mentality started by Clinton, then obviously you will not reach your desired audience. In other words, it would suggest that even a polling of the important issues for each subgroup that could win an election was already wrong at the start. I actually wondered about this as clearly the Dem Party focused primarily on the agenda of the far left. These party technocrats are not dumb. They made that choice deliberately. They clearly thought that they were headed in the right direction, that they were convincing the majority. But they were wrong. And I would suggest even their polling to come up with the hot button issues list was already wrong at the start. They misunderstood their electorate, and I think there's a reason why this happened, and it has to do with the hidden population. Part of the inability of mainstream media to convince the population was that many people, maybe the core of the independents and centrists, may have changed behaviors. Could it be that the Dems tried to reach the electorate through traditional means that no longer work? I'm talking cable news channels and Facebook and YouTube. You see, if you can't even find out where your audience is, you can't really have them listen to you. Judging from the meteoric rise of platforms like Truth Social, Rumble, and Joe Rogan podcasts, perhaps the specific population that Dems needed to reach already moved elsewhere, perhaps outside the clutches of big tech and mainstream media. Perhaps this was also reflected in the decline of the viewership in the cable channels that some in the population characterize as propaganda channels because of an obvious bias detected by their target audience. The political pollsters have their data, which was showing an even race. It could have gone either way in their mind. Zuck and Google have their own sources of data too. And since they can track individual behaviors in much more advanced ways than the pollsters, they can see what appears as a toss-up just as easily. But even Zuck and Sundar Pichai could not see people who are either not on their platform or cannot be identified or cannot be profiled. I'll give you an old school analogy here. Back in the day when broadcast TV dominated the communication systems, if you lived in a forest with no TV signal, then you couldn't be influenced by politicians. Same here, if you're not in an audience they can control, then they can't convince you of anything. I was laughing to myself when James Carville said that he was frustrated at the tens of millions of people who fell for this. Z-H-I-T. James Carville, if I remember my history, was the master of polling every issue and crafted Clinton's victory by knowing the pulse of the electorate. So knowing the demographics of the population was very important to him. To hear him say this is surprising because it should have been obvious to him that they polled incorrectly, or maybe he doesn't understand the new technology because he's 80. Let me tell you my observation about the problem. Apparently, pollsters failed to find 4% of the voters. Or maybe let's rephrase that. 4% of the population hid their views from the pollsters. And apparently, this isn't just in one demographic, but was a general occurrence. Let's rephrase this even more. It is a stunning finding to me that perhaps 4% of the population believed in privacy. They believed in not sharing their true opinion publicly to pollsters and the public, even though it's in theory just some anonymous survey. Perhaps some percentage of these people stated that they were undecided, but some of them must have also lied to the pollsters. Doesn't matter which. The problem for these pollsters going forward is that there are now people aware of privacy and they've learned to use it as a weapon. Let me explain to you what a problem privacy poses to those interested in manipulating a population. Hiding what you think, in this case until it counts, such as with an election, screws up the works in so many ways. First, it is clear that in this election cycle, the Dems wasted a lot of resources. Not knowing where the battles are causes the messaging to be unfocused. In fact, it may have contributed to the bad messaging to begin with. Chances are that the Dems were reaching out through traditional media and thus were just reaching the same normal demographics that were already on their side. This is like the problem of the echo chamber in social media. You're just listening to others exactly like you and you have no pulse on the reality because your echo chamber does not reflect the population. They couldn't reach the side they wanted to reach. Politics is clearly a game, and don't think that we're dealing with truth here all the time on both sides. Absolutely not. Politics is about changing your words to appeal to your focused target demographic. Remember the very organized messaging on Hitler and fascists near the end of the campaign? It was so organized that mainstream media was in complete lockstep with the Kamala campaign on the exact words to push. But that's the problem. I'm sure they did that because their focus groups showed that it resounded with their target market. However, what if the target market lies? What if the target market is actually hidden? What if the target market is out of reach? What if they didn't really know who the target was? That, my friends, is the biggest marketing problem. They got misdirected. And that is the power of privacy. When they don't know what you think, you cannot be targeted. When they don't know how many think exactly that way, they can't focus their resources. When they don't know where you are, they can't send you a message. Trump, on the other hand, had access to those particular echo chambers with Rumble, Truth Social, X, and indirectly through the Joe Rogan interview. The Trump campaign didn't need to reach out to different demographics. His demographics was already in those social media sites. Maybe this is by chance. Or maybe this was planned. Attempts at manipulation become more haphazard and are not as effective as the finely focused techniques that you can do when you know exactly who to target. Make no mistake, they've got a lot of people targeted. However, they missed the 4%. The 4% they couldn't account for in the polls. That number was also hidden in the 2016 and 2020 elections. I don't remember the number of voters the pollsters couldn't account for in 2016. I think it was 2% or even less. But it's more now. I think what's happening is that a larger portion of this population now are understanding the value of privacy. And what is interesting is that you don't have to be a big group. Here it is 4%. In 2016, it was 2%. It's growing. But a small number of people with unknown beliefs is very powerful because it is unpredictable. This time around, the people who felt oppressed enough to use privacy as a weapon were pro-Trump. Next time, it could be the Dems. So this is not an idea just for one political side. Finally, we find a way to beat the surveillance infrastructure. Regardless of your political side, it benefits all for some of us to hide. It puts all the politicians on their toes. Do we need to convince every normie? Apparently not. Even our little group is already very powerful. And you know who this group is? You! My videos on YouTube have been viewed over 30 million times. I've hopefully made inroads in introducing the value of privacy. We're reaching some folks, or maybe these folks are independently arriving at the same conclusion without me. In any case, this is the truth. Internet privacy is powerful. You are powerful. Folks, privacy, as you can see, is a very important part of freedom. The few of us who want to be guardians of privacy are enough to even gum up the works, even when some group has a lot of resources. But the privacy battle is not simple. It means disappearing from obvious view, and we have tools to enable this. We have a new phone model being released. It's called the Brax 3 phone, and it is a privacy phone intended to hide your identity from big tech. Please visit the website braxtech.net to check on when you can begin pre-ordering this device. On my platform, BraxMe itself, we have other products that are important to privacy. We have BraxMail, which is an incredible product that allows you to have unlimited email aliases. This can then be used to eliminate the tracking based on email addresses. Don't use Gmail. Use this instead to disappear. We have Bytes VPN, which is an international service that provides you with a way to obscure your IP address anywhere. IP addresses are used to track behaviors. We also have Brax Virtual Phone, which allows you to set up multiple phone numbers with no identification. We also have services to put an open source OS on Pixel phones, and we offer a stock of these that are pre-made on our store. Pixel phones are higher-end phone models and may appeal more to some of you. All these products can be found on our store on the BraxMe site. BraxMe is a community, so there are over 100,000 people there actively discussing privacy issues daily. Join us there and be part of this community. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.